One text verse tonight. Title of my message is God Wants to Make a Deal. Through the Bible, you see God dealing with people. And in Isaiah, he says, come and let us what? Reason together. God wants to make a deal. And this is in the concept of he wants to take things from us and put something better in its place. And so tonight we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. That scripture says this, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. In the way of introduction, wow. This is a text that anticipates our needs. And you know, you say, well, I've heard this verse before. Even I watched some of you quote it. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But you know, there's a lot of hurting people out there. There's a lot of people that are anxious. When I was out praying for people yesterday and people were dropping by, the overwhelming majority say, pray for, I feel anxious. I feel threatened. I feel I don't have peace. It is a tremendous opportunity to witness. It's a tremendous opportunity to use the verses that we're going to study tonight and share them with other people and say, there is hope. There is hope in this. You know, this is a text that anticipates our needs. You know, it meets us in anxiety. Isaiah is dealing with a backslidden nation here. He's one of the few that's speaking out. There's very few people speaking out today with all the trouble that we got. And he's anxious. So it meets us with anxiety and brings us assurance. We use this verse this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, casting how much? There's that word again. All your care or all your concerns or all your anxiety upon Him. For what? For He cares for you. Never say that no one cares for you. Because no one ever cared for me like Jesus. So here's a text that will anticipate our needs and it can meet us in anxiety and offer assurance. It can move us from fear to faith. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love. If you're fearful for your spirit, that's telling you something. And it says, but perfect love casteth out what? Fear. So you know, when we get fearful, we get anxious, that should drive us closer to God. It should bring us to, like Jairus this morning, come to the feet of Jesus and fall down before Him and ask Jesus to come into His house. Because fear hath torment. And God wants to give us peace. He says, peace I'll give to you, not as the world giveth. Peace I'll leave unto you. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Don't fear about tomorrow. God's got it. God's got it. Thirdly, what God wants to do for His children. We need to understand that we as Christians, God wants to bless us. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with, yep, there's that word, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's all about Christ. It truly is all about Christ. Secondly, He longs to exchange His peace for your pain. In Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3, and if you've never studied the book of Isaiah, I strongly suggest that you read through it. And you study it. Because in Isaiah 61 verse 3, the Bible says this. This is what Christ came to do. And in fact, he even preaches this in the synagogue. He says, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. He says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them, and look at the trade. See, God wants to make a deal. He wants to give you beauty for ashes. He wants to give you the oil of joy in place of mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called what? Trees of righteousness. Not a twig, not a sprout, but a tree. Something that you could hang on to. The planting of the Lord, that what? He may be glorified. So see, God knows about our problems. And he wants to do this. He will move heaven and earth for us. He wants to see, he wants to look around and show himself strong on behalf of those that call on him. We can pray to the Creator of the universe and he hears our prayer. Wow! What an awesome thing. So let's look in our text tonight. And this is what God wants to make a deal. You know, when you go down and you buy a car, I like going down and buying cars because I like to bicker and I like to trade. I like to see that you get something. And what do? You want to get something better than what you gave up. See, God wants to do that for us. He wants to give us something better than what we're existing in right now. God wants to trade his fellowship for our fears. This first part of the verse says this, fear thou not, for what? I am with thee. See, fear stalks us all. It seems that anymore today, there's fear around every corner. There's fear every time you turn on the TV set. There's fear in the people that you meet. And I was, talking. There was fear out there in people that I was praying with yesterday. You know, there are four basic fears. Some people have the fear of death. Some people have the fear of failure. Some people have the fear of insecurity. They just don't know if they're going to have what they need in the future. And there's a lot of people like that today. And then there's people that have just fear of the future. But folks, I'm telling you, based on the authority of God's Word, for every fear that mankind has, there's an answer. There's an answer. See, God answers all this fear, all these fears. For death, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is what? Is Christ, and to die is gain. Because I guarantee you, the worst place in heaven is better than the best place on earth.
That's right.
The worst day in heaven, where there won't be, is better than your best day on earth. It's better than golfing. Okay? It's better than parties. It's better than all that stuff. So God answers the fear. He said, for me to live, this is Paul. He was near death several times. And to die is gain. For failure. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I could do what? All things through Christ which strengtheneth me. For insecurity, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply what? There's that word. All your need. And it just goes beyond the physical. He's going to give you all of your emotional need. He'll meet all of your spiritual need. He'll meet every need that you have. You know why? Because he's God. And this says, but my God shall supply all your need according to what? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, it all comes back to Christ. It all comes back if you have a relationship with him. And then lastly, about the future. He told his disciples, he said, look, you need to teach people. And folks, today we have a unique opportunity in all these crises that we got going on to share these scriptures with people, to show them that there is hope, to show them there's a God that loves them, to show them he's got all the answers. And it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And what? Lo, I am. Present tense. He's here tonight. He'll be here tomorrow. Unless we're with him. He'll be there. He says, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And all God's people said what? Amen. See, he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So God wants to trade his fellowship for our fears. And he takes the basic fears and he has an answer for each one of them. He knows what makes us tick. Satan knows what makes us tick too. Our Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. And one of the things that I do when I pray with people, I said, you have a relationship with Christ. Because that gets you into the throne room of God. If you don't have that, it's not going to work. But our Lord will never leave us or forsake us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. And here is the thing. We talked about, you know, this morning, what do you want to give your father or grandfather's love? Because if you got it right in here, then it'll be right on the outside. But it says here, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness. See, because if you're coveting things, then you're basically saying that God's not big enough to supply your need. You want something else. And be what? Content with such things as you have. You know, sometimes fears and anxieties that we have are self-generated. Because we're just not at peace. We're just not in the right relationship with God. We're not at peace with our situation. And we say, why me? Why me? So such as he has said, I have will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may what? Boldly say, and this needs to be said today, folks. This needs to be said out there. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. So God wants to trade his fellowship, okay? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. He's here tonight. Do you see him? Do you sense his presence? If not, why not? That's your issue. You need to get that straight. Secondly, God wants to trade his comfort for our confusion. He wants to trade his comfort for your confusion. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You know, there's a lot of dismay in the world today. Because a lot of people are asking this question. Why did this happen to me? Why is this happening to me? We all ask that question, even Christians. God knows that. And he wants to trade that confusion and give us comfort in that time. He says, be not dismayed, for there's the present tense, I am thy God. You know, there's a lot of people confused today. And I just can't understand why God would allow these things to happen in my life, or why God would bring this trial in this. And think of this morning in Jairus. He goes, he says, Jesus, can you come to my house? My daughter's sick. She's dying. Can you come to my house? And on the way there, he gets the bad news. Your daughter's dead. See, we think sometimes when we pray to God that, bam, we get this instant answer. God just blesses us and everything else. And it doesn't happen that way. It's going to happen in God's timing once we learn the lesson that we need to learn. And sometimes we have to face fear in order to have faith. God owns us as His own. He owns us as His own, even in tough times. And we can all say that we're living in some pretty tough times today. Just look around. It's not the same way it was 4 months ago. And I have a feeling it's going to get more intense as time goes on. But I want you to understand this. Whatever happens, we belong to Him. Amen. See, the psalmist says this. In Psalm 118, verse 6, it says, the Lord is on my side. You know, when you were in grade school and you were picking teams for dodgeball, or picking teams for basketball, or picking teams for... what did you want? You want the biggest dude, right? You want him on your side. So you would what? Win. Folks, we have the creator of the universe on our side. The psalmist says this. It says, look, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. See, people are gripped in fear right now because they don't know the Lord. And we have the hope, and we can share that with somebody else. What can man do unto me? In Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, we know this scripture too. And I just want to keep on motivating you. These scriptures are common to us, but they're uncommon out there. And we need to show it and share it. For Paul writes, he said, for I am persuaded. See, Paul went through some crisis times too. Just read Romans 7. You don't think he didn't have crisis in his life? Just look at the book of Acts and see all the things that he went through. But through all those tough times, he comes out and he says this. He says, I am persuaded that neither death... hey, that was something common people fear. Nor life. Well, some people fear their life right now. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That's the future. See, Paul was there. Common fears. The same thing we're talking about tonight. He says, neither nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall what? Let's all read it. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, God wants to trade His comfort for our confusion. And then as it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, that we're supposed to be able to comfort others with the same comfort where God comforts us. See, we need to learn our lessons. We need to look around. We need to put all this stuff together and assimilate it and be disciples for Christ. So God wants to trade His comfort for your confusion. God wants to trade His strength for your weakness. He says, I will strengthen thee. Well, that implies that you need some strengthening. That so implies that you have some weakness. You know, there are many reasons for feeling weak. The main one is this. Sickness. Sickness. You know, it's a sad, sad thing to go in a hospital room and see someone that was just a few days ago or a few weeks ago vibrant and active and laying on a bed, almost lifeless or agitated. And that's a fearful thing to say, because it could happen to me. You know, or regrets over past failures. There's a whole bunch of people all through history that never got over a failure. Never put it behind them. And they were paralyzed by that. And after their failure, they didn't do much. Folks, that's what Satan wants to do to us. He wants to put us in the grip of, see, you're a failure. You can't ever do. For where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. See, not even my failures will separate me from the love of Christ. Not even my failures. Not even my sickness. And then lastly, conflict with the tempter himself. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Powers and principalities and spiritual darkness in high places. And Paul says, I am persuaded that that can't separate me from either. And you know, when we see this, we get conflicted. And sometimes we feel overwhelmed. But we need to consider his strength. In the previous chapter, in verses 28 through 31, Isaiah writes a prescription for this. We need to consider strength. The first thing we need to understand is that God's strength is inexhaustible. In verse 28 of Isaiah 40, he says, hast thou not known? You know, there's a lot of Christians out there today that claim the name of Christ, but they don't know what the power of God is. They don't see it in their life. Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth. Have you not known this? Do you not know this, Christian? You got your mind wrapped around this? That God doesn't faint.
Amen.
He doesn't give up. He doesn't get tired. There is no searching of his understanding. The Lord is on my side. Whom shall I fear? His strength is inexhaustible. It cannot be exhausted. It's available. In verse 29 of Isaiah 40, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have what? No might, he increaseth strength. When you think you can't go on, the God of the universe says, you can if you trust in me. Because his strength is inexhaustible. It's available. It's superior. You know, some of us always, I'm kind of like that. I wish I was about 20 years younger. I could start doing some things now. But now this hurts and that hurts and this hurts and this pops and everything else. But you know, even when you are at your strongest, you would get tired. You would get weary. When you had the best health club membership in the world, and you were buff as you still get weak. But see, Christ's strength, God's strength is superior. He says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall what? Utterly fall. You can't fight the battles that God's got in front of you sometimes. You need him. You need him. And then lastly, it must be sought. In verse 31, it says, but they that what? Wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall. What does it mean? It'll happen. What? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God wants to trade His strength for your weakness. Have you considered His strengths? It's inexhaustible. It's available. It's superior. But it's got to be sought. He wants to make a deal with you tonight. He wants to trade off the old stuff and put in better stuff. Next. God wants to trade His help for your helplessness. His help for your help. He says, I will help thee. Once again, implying that we need help. Now, I know there's people stubborn like me. Okay? You want help? Nope. I got it. But you know something? We all need help. We all need help, don't we? God knows it. He says, I'm here. I'm willing for you when you're ready to give up. I'm here. I'm here for you. You know, sometimes all we can do is to cry out for help. You remember Jehoshaphat? He was surrounded. Now, he was in the wrong place anyway. Should have been there in the first place. And all he could do is he was surrounded and he cried out and God delivered him. Because his army was getting whacked. In Psalm 18:6, the psalmist writes this. He says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. See, this doesn't work unless He's your God. You need a relationship with Christ. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him even unto His ears. Remember Jairus this morning? He came to God expecting to get the help that he wanted. And folks, we need to understand that we approach God, we'll get the help that we want, but God's way. In Psalm 39, verse 12, it says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my what? Cry. Because sometimes the only thing we can do when there are things out of our control is to cry out to God. Hold not thy peace at my tears. What's he saying? He says, look, I'm crying here. I need your help. Don't just stand by, God. He knows that. He knows that. For I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. See, sometimes we get on the back place of a desert like Moses was, like Christ was, like Paul was. And we're taken out of our element and we're put in a dry desert land where the only help we have is from God. So sometimes all we can do is to cry for help. But once again, just like with the strength, if you don't ask, you don't get it. We need to reach out to Jesus because He's reaching out to us. A sad verse in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 2. The prophet in God's stead is crying out, and he says, look at this. He says, I've spread out my hands all the day long until a rebellious people. You know, we can be rebellious too. You know how we'd be rebellious? Knowing we need God's help and not asking for it. Knowing we need His strength and we don't seek it. Going places that we know we weren't supposed to go to and then we get in trouble. God's there, just like the prodigal son's father, waiting and looking. He says, I spread out my hands all the day long until a rebellious people was walking the way that was not good after their own thoughts. Oh, folks, tonight, Let God make a deal in your life. Let God change your thought life. You need to change your thought life too. We need to be compliant to Him. God wants to trade His righteousness for your rags. He wants to trade His righteousness for your rags. See, this is why Isaiah is such a good book. Our righteousness is like filthy rags because the Bible says so. It says when we think that we think we're good, we think we've arrived, we think we got it knocked out, we think we got it all solved. Just understand this. But we are all as a what? Unclean thing. And all, how much is that? Every bit of it. Every bit of our self-righteousness is unclean. Every bit of our self is unclean. And all our unrighteousness is our filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Has the winds of the world taken you to a place that you never thought you would ever be before? Have you been caught off and now you're someplace far, far away from where you know you should be? See, God wants to trade His righteousness for that place. Jesus has made righteousness available through faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For He, God, Jehovah, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Why did He do that? First of all, He loved us. It's the greatest gift we could give anybody is love. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in ourselves." Nope. "The righteousness of God in your church." Nope. "The righteousness of God in your family." Nope. "The righteousness of God because of the color of your skin." Nope. "The righteousness of God because of where you were born." Nope. Nope. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." The only righteousness we can have is what Christ, God imputes to us through Jesus Christ. It's the only way that we can be good. God wants to trade tonight. He wants to take our filthiness and put righteousness in its place. He says, "I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." This is a very interesting thing. It could blow your mind here. You know, we think of God, He's three people in one. Christ is the Son at His own right hand. Because He is also God Jehovah. In Acts chapter 7, verse 55, Stephen is being stoned. You think Stephen had a bad day that day? You think Stephen feared death? You think Stephen feared failure? Or he was insecure? Not what he told the Pharisees. Was he fearful of the future? Nope. Not at all. He said, "But he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." And he went to sleep. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, "But this man," who? Christ, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." See, Christ is the Son of His own, of His right hand. He intercedes for us there. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the what? Uttermost. Now that, what does that mean? That says, you take as far as you think and go further. You think what he could do, what you could do, and go further. It's all about more. Much more. Much more. Wherefore he is also able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he what? Ever liveth to make intercession for them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a defense trial lawyer better than the dude with the force. Better with a guy than a hammer. Okay? Better than all that. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the what? The righteous. Folks, God's on our side. He wants to make a deal with us tonight. He wants to trade all the junk for good stuff. For good stuff. See, give God your problems and allow Him to give you the solutions. But you need to ask for it. You need to ask for it. Do you have problems tonight? Bring them to the cross. Leave them here at the altar and say, God, help me. Maybe all you can do is cry out tonight. Cry out! Maybe you need more strength. Ask for it! Maybe you need comfort. Receive it. Because for every problem you have, God's got a solution. So, tonight, we need to understand that Christ is sufficient for all our needs. All our needs. He's meeting with us tonight. This is a fearful world we live in today. It's a tragic place. And every day we start seeing things that we go, wow, we never thought that would happen. God's in control. He sees what we're going through. We need to cling to Him. Tremendous opportunity to witness. Tremendous opportunity to help people that have anxiety. They're scared. They're scared of the future. They're scared that they got enough. You do have enough when you know God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I just ask that you be with us time of invitation. Father, search our hearts and help us, Lord, to depend on you. Help us, Lord, to understand you have the answer for every fear that we have. You have a solution for every problem that we encounter. Now, Lord, help us to meet with you tonight and trade our frailty for you, and that you bless us. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.